Welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Amira.
And I'm Aphrodite.
And in this episode, we'll be talking about the latest episode of The Bold Type. But first, we have a couple of announcements we wanted to make.
Yes.
For anybody who follows us on Twitter, you may have already seen this announcement. For those of you who don't follow us on Twitter, we would love if you do. Our handle is at QWOCship. Again, that's at QWOCship. And we announced that we will no longer be discussing storylines that pertain to straight people because they drive us crazy, frankly. And we want to devote more time to the QWOC storylines, obviously. Yeah. Exactly. Because that's what our show is about.
Yeah.
And we also will not be covering shows that don't feature queer women of color relationships. So if anybody is a Wynonna Earp fan, I know I am, but we will not be covering that show on this podcast. So there are some other shows that have been sort of on our radar that we probably won't be covering here. But Aphrodite, would you tell us a little bit about the shows that you have been watching?
Yeah, well, first I want to reiterate to our listeners, if you've been following us, like, we still care about Jane and Sutton as people. They're like, we still care about them. We still care about Jacqueline. But I think when Amir and I, well, obviously, this week we had Kat and Adina's storyline featured, but last week's episode, we didn't. So episode 8 really didn't include very much about Adina at all. It mostly focused on Kat's professional development. And so what is our contribution here? And just as there's, I think, a shortage of representation of queer women of color in television, there's also maybe a shortage of coverage of queer women of color in podcasts. So, So as we thought about that, we made an announcement over Twitter, and that's why you didn't hear from us last week. Sorry about that. And thanks to those of you who messaged us in the interim with your feedback. The other shows that I did want to talk about briefly. So if you're paying attention to a show called Glow, that is another show that features queer women of color ship. So Arthi and Yolanda, Arthi who's South Asian and Yolanda who's Latina, they are a ship on season 2 of Glow. Now, Amira had watched season 1 of Glow, and maybe you can briefly explain your feelings about season 1 and why you didn't start season 2.
Well, basically, I felt like season 1 was, it seemed like there was more promise of queerness than there actually ended up being. There was a lot of, just a lot more hetero nonsense than there was queerness. And so, you know, I watched with my girlfriend and we were kind of disappointed by the end of the season. I mean, it wasn't a terrible show, but like, you know, I think a lot of queer people know that feeling of starting a show hoping for outwardly forward queer storylines and not really getting that. So I think that it's not a bad show at all, but just be warned that in season 1, it's a lot of heterosexuality.
Yeah. Hetero nonsense is like hashtag hetero nonsense.
Yeah.
We should really coin that as a term to cover all the stuff that we won't be covering on this podcast anymore. at Jane, at Sutton. Okay.
So, we're calling them out.
Yeah, exactly. Or like we've called you out enough that we shouldn't have to anymore.
Yeah.
So I watched season 2 of Glow because I didn't want to deal with hetero nonsense, but I did want to watch a queer woman of color ship. And Yolanda in season 2 is hot. I started season 2 because I got wind of this Arthi and Yolanda ship. And then I started watching, and Yolanda is super hot. She's a dancer. She's 100% my type, minus Adina. And what I...
Number one bae.
Yeah, number one, but like Yolanda's up there. So like I enjoyed the show a lot. I feel like I have to warn queer viewers that the queerness doesn't happen until late in the season. So I'm like sitting there waiting for gay shit to happen. It doesn't really happen until like, what, episode 7 or 8? That's pretty, for a 10 episode season, that's a long time to wait.
And it's a lot of buildup.
As I was watching, this is also a show that's produced by Jenji Kohan, who did Orange is the New Black. And so I watched most of the first several seasons of Orange is the New Black, and not the most recent one. Basically, after Pusey died, I was like, I'm done.
That's
no more. And so Jenji Kohan is like, as a showrunner, she kind of has a tendency to focus on like the cishet, or like, or at least in Piper's case, she's not heterosexual, but like the cis white women characters. And so they end up being the main, like the main characters of the show. And then the rest of the ensemble cast, they're like side characters. And occasionally they'll get an episode, but they won't have the entire season focus on them. And so as I was watching season two of Glow, I just kept thinking, like, wow, like the white characters are the most boring on this show. And the characters of color are the most interesting, and they're getting less screen time. So that
It's
was like,
crazy. It's just like Orange is the New Black.
exactly. I'm like, wow, you didn't learn your lesson the first time? Like Orange is the New Black, nobody watches for the main character anymore because we all hate H Piper. But yeah, so I kept waiting for the other characters of color to have more of a storyline. And then like at the very end of season two, we see Yolanda and Arthi get together, and there's a really beautiful fantasy sequence between the two of them that maybe you've seen GIFs for on Tumblr. But I feel like it's worth watching this, just those last couple of episodes for their scenes together. Or hint, hint, if there's a viewer out there who makes compilation videos, if you would kindly put together a compilation of just their ship on season two, I would very much appreciate it. Thank you very much. But yeah, I just waited to the end, and then by the end of the season, I was like, you know, a few years ago, I would have settled for this. But now that we have a show like The Bold Type, where Kat and Adina are the central ship, I'm like, I don't want to settle for the plot B anymore. I just don't.
I know, exactly. We're past that. We don't have to beg for scraps anymore and wait for, a B plot ship to develop late in the season and only get a few minutes of screen time each episode. And so I think that's why, for me personally, I was like, not really worth it, because now we have other options, and I really love that that's where we're at right now. I mean, of course, it'd be great if we had even more options, but I'm like you said, I mean, we have shows like The Bold Type, where we can see, I mean, like last week's episode was very strange in that it did not feature any Kadena
Yeah. And the fans were
content.
upset. The fans were upset. They were like, this was a shit episode because we didn't get Kat or Adina.
So it's not, I mean, even Kat's queerness wasn't really like a main focal point. So I think that I think that it's fair to say, Glow is maybe a good show, but if you're looking for like heavy hitting queer content, it may not be the show for you. And speaking of compilation clips, I mean, God bless the lesbians who are doing our goddess's work in making these compilation videos. But something to notice when you're looking at compilation videos of a ship that maybe you're like, you want to get into, but you kind of want to like see where the story's going ahead of time before you get like super emotionally invested or invest all of your time in watching the show. Pay attention to how long those compilation clips are, because that'll give you an idea of how much screen time they're getting. If it's a compilation of like seasons one and two of a ship and the compilation clip is only 15 minutes long, you know that they're not getting a lot of screen time per episode. So that's a good way to sort of like gauge before getting invested in a show.
Do your homework. Do your homework, or tune into this podcast, and sometimes we'll do the homework for you. And we get to And then you can decide based on our review. I also have a second show that I wanted to bring up that I watched all of because, you know, I assign we assign each other fangirl homework. And I want to alert everyone to a show called Pose on FX. I'm sure you've heard about it. The show, it's created by Ryan Murphy, but it's got the I know and I put the butt there because Ryan Murphy has screwed us over a number
Numerous
of times.
times.
But it's got the largest number of trans actors ever hired for a show, period. And so Pose is set in the late 80s in New York City, and it's about like chosen family and primarily black, queer, and trans characters and the voguing and ballroom scene during that time. So I loved it from start to finish. It is not a light show. Like, I know that the marketing makes it look glamorous and sparkly and makes you feel like, oh, I'm just going to watch people voguing for like an hour. No. You're gonna get your heart broken multiple times per episode. Like for me, I can only tolerate one moment of devastation per episode, but this is a show that will deliver two or three per episode. And it's because they're squeezing a lot of really rich content about the Black, queer, and trans community in that time period. they deal with HIV, they deal with abandonment, loss and grief and love. There's just a ton of really rich material. I highly recommend this show. And it does feature some really fabulous trans women of color. So one thing to note though, and I went into this thinking, oh my God, trans women of color, yes, 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 yes. And I'm like ready to ship them with each other. right? I know. Yeah. I've got like several crushes on Poe's. Angel and Blanca are both also on my crush list, except they appear to be straight on the show. And that's super disappointing. I want these trans girls to hook up with each other. I really do. And it's like, oh, that's so disappointing. I'm like, you know, I'm like a queer lady fangirl tuning into this show, wanting to watch trans women of color have like leslie lives, but they're mostly interested in men, cis men, and primarily cis men who are masculine. And that's really frustrating for me because I'm like, I want to support that femme for femme life. How can we can't have like two super femme or two super flamey gay guys be together? I want to see that. I'm tired of like, at least for trans women and for gay men, I don't want their love interest to always be like masculine of center. I think it would be great if like primary love interests were really femme.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
I recommend Pose. Amira, I think it should be on your list. I actually,
for sure on my list. I will definitely, I mean, I was awaiting your feedback and now that this is your feedback, I definitely want to watch it. Would you say there are any, you know, like content warnings of like violence or anything like that?
Oh, good question. So I will say that there's a character death, but it's not a character death of one of the primary cast members.
Okay.
The show deals with sex work. They probably hint at things like assault and trauma, but it's not much that we have to see. There's like a brief scene of domestic abuse, but I would call it brief and not grotesque. Yeah, so those are the only content warnings I would provide. I actually feel like every single queer person of color should watch Pose in principle.
Wow, wow.
Because this is the first show of its kind, and we should really be supporting shows that cast
women
of color to play trans women of color. So, yeah. So enough about those shows. Like, if you have thoughts about shows that we're missing or that you think we should be talking about, please feel free to tweet at us. We're at QWOCship. On Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you with your feedback or your corrections. We actually got feedback from a Twitter user who goes by podfem/girl, G-U-R-L, who gave us a couple of important corrections from our last podcast episode. This Twitter listener told us that in episode 4 of season 1, Adina confesses to Kat that was her first time ever cheating, which means that Adina does not have a history of cheating.
Yep. Which definitely changes a lot of our perceptions about this relationship.
Yeah. That doesn't mean she's not guilty of like pre-cheating, which is a term that my bestie and I used to use for people who hop from one relationship into the next by setting up relationship 2 before relationship 1 is over. That's a good term of that.
Right. But there's still potential for that there.
I mean, Adina did set up Kat before leaving Coco. Mm-hmm. So anyways,
yeah,
the other correction is that there is a brief piece of dialogue that indicates that the person Kat hooked up with was indeed her Lyft or Uber driver.
Yep, I was wrong on that one. That was my bad.
I mean, you were hoping for the best.
I mean obviously that's one of those scenarios where and actually just like in this week's episode, which we'll talk about soon, I feel like writers assume that queer people can meet in real life like straight people do. And that's very rare, like for you to like read another person as gay, feel safe enough in your environment to actually openly approach them and hit on them. And then for them to reciprocate. I mean, it's like the stars really have to align. And a lot of us have had really bad experiences or have heard of really bad experiences when people try those kinds of things. And so usually we don't. We don't even try in the first place. And then of course, every femme-coded queer will know the blight of femme invisibility. Oh. And like no one even knows you're queer in the first place and you're like, please hit on me.
Yeah.
And As a soft butch, I definitely wish that femmes would have some sort of like sign or indicator that I could be like, oh, cool, okay, you're
open. Oh my god.
But anyway, so yeah, I was wrong on that one.
Well, we do have more to say about that with this past week's most recent episode, Random Queers Meeting. But the other corrections I wanted to make, my friend Erin also wanted to mention that last time we talked about Shane being the closest thing we have to a masculine of center character, even though she's actually androgynous. But we have Black masculine of center queer women on on other shows. So we've had Lena Waithe on Master of None. Mm-hmm. And we had Tasha, who is definitely Mask of Center.
That's true.
On the L Word. So we have seen some butch queer women of color, just not regularly and not as like a primary protagonist.
Right. Yeah.
Usually as part of an ensemble cast. Although Lena Waithe has been getting a lot more visibility in recent years. And that's
I know. I'm like so happy for her.
Yeah.
And also the character of Tasha on the L Word, I remember being disappointed when she sort of, not like super directly or intentionally, introduced Alice to her other Black lesbian friends. And I thought we were going to kind of see into that world a little bit, but it didn't go there. So
yeah, I mean,
we stayed in the white queer scene.
What can you expect? It was the L Word. It was the early 2000s. It's funny how dated that show is when you go.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It was it was like almost, when did it start?
God, 2001?
It was after Xena ended.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Everything is in reference to Xena.
I know. That's how I date things. Before Xena, during Xena, after Xena. Oh, they're the three eras of time. No.
Definitely 2004 to 2009. So I just looked this up.
Okay. Good.
So about a decade ago.
Oh, that's right. It ended when I was in college. I remember. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's talk about this week's episode.
Let's talk about Bold Type.
Oh my gosh.
So I just want to say, this show opens with Kat getting some vajay pics from a girl on her phone. And, you know, it's like
titty pics, though. They probably weren't vajay.
No, because Jane goes up to her later and she's like, is it another vag, when she like gets something else on her phone?
What? Do lesbians send vag pictures to each other?
I don't know. Hey, that, you know what? To all of our listeners, that's something that we would love for you to tweet at us about.
Oh my God, stop.
I don't know. Get sent nudes? I personally, please don't send us your nudes. but I mean, I personally am not really like a nude pic sender in general, just because I'm extremely paranoid about that information being in the wrong hands. Mm. But I mean, case in point, actually, Kat got some nudes and showed them to her friends, which, I mean, I don't really think that's a really cool thing to do. Just a little PSA for folks. You know, I mean, obviously, like, literally sending them to your friend, like, so they have a copy on their own phone is, like, a big no-no. But I also feel like, you know, the sender doesn't give you explicit consent, usually, to, like, show the nudes to other people.
Mm.
So, I mean.
Yeah. I mean.
That was a little.
Yeah, so she gets these nudes, and I'm just like, what? I'm not getting nudes. Like,
I know. Yeah.
Do you want to be? No, I'm just really curious about whether there are queer women out there sending nudes to each other of like photos, because like titty pics I can understand, like vag pics I don't see happening.
Yeah, I guess I feel like I don't know if I could get like a decent picture of myself to send to someone, and then if somebody sent me a picture of their vagina, I don't know if I would be like even super into that.
No, you know? I don't think I would be into that either. It's kind of like if someone sends you a dick pic, I'm like, how is that sexy?
Well, I feel like dick pics are like, you know, offensive for me.
Yeah,
like I don't want it, you know what I mean? Especially because the common problem is that they're sent without consent or warning. But I just feel like in the realm of sending nudes, like let's say you're getting into it and you're like okay with somebody sending you nudes, I feel like for me personally, a picture of a vagina would just be like, okay, that's cool, but like I'd rather see it in person, you know?
Yeah.
Boobs, I get. I think boobs would be,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I'm just a boobs person. Boobs, I mean, and butts. Butt pics I'd be into.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a boob girl, definitely. I would not want other pictures of other parts, I don't think. But back to business. Hold on, we're talking about a show.
Okay, wait. Before we get back to the show, if a girl was sending you nudes, would you be comfortable sending her nudes in response?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Would you? Right. You're paranoid.
It would depend, you know? Like, if it was, I mean, now I have a girlfriend, so I feel like if it was just with her, maybe, but, like, if it was still in the casual dating phase, I'd be like, you know, this was nice, thank you very much, but I prefer not to send nudes, okay. So
okay.
You can continue to send them if you want, but just know that I'm not going to reciprocate, you know?
No, like just kind of to clarify, I would actually never send a nude to someone I was seeing casually because I wouldn't trust them.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't That's trust fair. Them enough to not forward it to their friends, like Kat did. Sorry. Like,
yeah, see?
But if I was with a partner and I trusted them to not, like, go texting it around to people, then I would feel much more comfortable doing
yeah,
that.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So she gets all these news, and what the writers are trying to do is they're trying to hint at Kat's very active sex life that doesn't involve Adina.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see how much time it's taking up for Kat to be, like, openly dating other women and not seeing Adina.
Yep.
And I thought it was interesting that, like, she gets stressed out about a decision that Jacqueline makes for Scarlett. And then she calls Adina, she asks Adina if she can meet during her break to talk about it. And this actually kind of annoyed me.
Did it really?
Yeah. Cause I was like, doesn't, like, Adina's going to come all the way out from the apartment to come and see you and give you advice about your work stuff. I know. I just felt like that's a lot of hassle. You're asking your girlfriend.
I guess it could have been just like a phone conversation, but like, I don't know. I just saw Adina as being like support. I mean, she's almost like a life coach in that situation, you know, but she's just being a supportive girlfriend. I think that if she doesn't mind, you know, making the trek out there, then I don't know. I felt like this all was building up to Kat realizing how much she really appreciates Adina's support. And like, she doesn't necessarily just want fulfillment sexually, but she wants that like companionship. And partnership that she gets from Adina.
Yeah. I mean, and that was lovely to see. Like, Adina does come through with support. Although Kat gets like, you know, a little miffed about the fact that Adina went to see this museum exhibit without her.
Mm-hmm.
And
she had a date that night.
I'm like, well, let your girlfriend do what she wants. Like,
yeah.
Let her go to the museum by herself without you. You're busy. You're like sleeping with other people. Let Adina do what she wants to do. I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if your girlfriend's letting you sleep with other people, the least you can do is let her go to a freaking museum exhibit without you. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, so I think part of the reason why I was like irritated with Kat is that like I was just frustrated by how selfish and like how selfish Kat was about wanting Adina's whole world to revolve around her and not recognizing that Adina has her own shit. Adina has her own world. Adina has her own interests. And like, unfortunately, as a viewer, we don't get to see that. We're not seeing scenes of Adina's life without Kat. And so when Kat wonders, well, is she actually going to the museum or is she actually doing work and going to the studio or is she dating other people? And so this is also the episode where we find out that like Kat's under the impression that it was open in both directions.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't know because they're still kind of doing the, you know, don't ask, don't tell thing with each other.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Kat just, you know, and I feel like I could sense like a little bit of like almost trepidation with her. Like she really didn't want to ask or even like accidentally find out.
Mm-hmm.
She was just like, you know, that might be what's happening, but whatever. Not going to think about it.
Yeah. And then we find out Adina really was at the studio. She like,
yeah,
well, we don't know that she was dating anybody else, but she had her, she was focusing on her art. She was focusing on her work. And Kat's just been so busy, like, hooking up with other people, she hasn't made time for Adina, and so she ends up missing her. So then what happens is Kat follows Jane and Sutton out to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is Sutton's hometown, and while she's there, they visit a bar, and...
I have to say, I saw this bartender thing coming, like, a mile away. As soon as they went up to her, I was like, that girl is gay.
Yeah.
But what's impressive, and this is what we were kind of alluding to earlier, is that the bartender somehow read Kat as gay, which, again, if you're, like, a femme queer lady, like, you know that that just does not happen. Like, it's, like, your super lucky day if you're out in some, like, podunk bar full of straight people and the one other lesbian there is like, hey.
Yes. So I also found that completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're at a straight bar, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not some lesbian bar. Like, I mean, so I'm like more like femme presenting, and I have never been read as queer outside of a queer space. Yeah. And that's why I generally only stay in queer spaces, because I just don't want to be mistaken for straight.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because straight people tend to invade queer spaces, mm-hmm. sometimes femme queers are even read as straight in queer spaces.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate.
No, I know. It's really like shitty. Like, I'll be at like a queer party, and then someone will ask me if I'm gay. I'm like, but I'm here. Like, I'm already here. Like,
yeah, and unfortunately, it's become like a fair question to ask, because you don't know. It's like, especially like if you want to like hit on someone, like, I'm not gonna waste my time,
yeah,
on, you know, some straight chick. But like, yeah, I don't think I would be forward enough to be like, are you gay?
No, my advice is don't even ask if I'm gay. Just mm-hmm. hit on the person and see what happens.
Because yeah, but you have to. Yeah. Sorry, as I've said before, I am like a soft butch. I have tried to take the more butch role of like instigating, hitting on people, and like that rejection you feel when you realize it's a straight girl is really terrible. Like, I feel like it's like not really worth the risk sometimes. Fair. To some people, where it's like, I don't want to just start hitting on you, because if you're going to turn around afterwards and laugh at me with your friends, then, you know what I mean? Like, then it's just going to ruin my night and my self-esteem. So,
oh my God. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, you're a shit ally if you turn around and you laugh. Here's the thing, like, if you're a straight person and you've entered a queer space, you are queer unless stated otherwise. Like, mm-hmm. we should be reading you as queer because you entered the space.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
By you entering the space means if you're going to reject someone, do it graciously.
Exactly.
So yeah, this bartender was a 100-footer. We saw that coming a mile away. And and like, when she comes over, she's like, oh, I love when people come from out of town. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you do, bartender. I bet you do.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I just want to note for anybody who's watching Queer Eye, I hope you noticed Kat's French tuck. She was really styling at that bar.
Mm, yeah.
And maybe that's how the bartender read her, actually.
Oh, now that I think about it. Interesting. Once I saw them at the pool table, I knew exactly what was going to go down. I'm like, this is typical. A pool table. And then when she, and oh my God, she like shoots and misses. And then the bartender goes up from behind her and like starts mm-hmm, to position mm-hmm. her with the pool stick.
Yeah. Classic move.
Oh my God.
Also saw that one coming. I was like, she is going to show her how to do it.
Oh my God.
From behind.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But I kind of loved it, because I felt like the writers were sort of like winking at us. They were like, we know this is a thing. We're going to put this in the show, and then we're going to have Kat make a comment about how cliche it is.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I love the scene, I still felt a little bit of secondhand discomfort, I would say, because like, I would never feel safe enough in that mm-hmm. space to just start making out with another girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I usually don't do that in public spaces at all, unless it's like a queer bar, but yeah, I don't know. I was like, taking a risk.
I was screaming. Because I was like, this happened so fast. Not only did it happen super fast, it happened in the most cliche way possible. They're sitting at a pool table and making out. Wow. I was screaming.
Yes.
And then one of them goes, do you want to go back to my
pool? Right,
or something
that's right.
like that. And then Kat says, yes. And I'm like, wow. Like, Kat in hoe mode is pretty fantastic. She's like,
she's up for everything.
She wastes no time. She's getting nudes. She's like making out with bartenders. Yeah. She's been a very efficient in the last three episodes of her being in an open relationship. She's made use of the time.
Yeah. So, yeah. And by the way, Aphrodite, this is if ever there was an example of what I've been telling you to do, this is it. You got to play it fast and loose, you know, just go with the flow.
No, absolutely. I'm working on it. Like, Amira, you're a pro with experience, and I'm still learning.
I appreciate the compliment.
I know. I would not be that bold to like make out with someone in a straight bar either.
You don't have to take it that far, but I'm just saying, you know, in queer
quickly.
Spaces
yeah.
or
Waste
on
no
queer
time.
Dating apps, you know, those are like safer places to try to just like reach out and be like, hey, you want to do this or not? What's going on?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay. So Kat has the invitation for a like very clear hookup situation. And then she finds out that shit has hit the fan regarding some work issues with Scarlett's, I guess, website launch or something. I wasn't really sure. I was like, I thought they already had a website. I wasn't sure what had launched specifically.
They did a website relaunch, and Jacqueline had decided to disable commenting going forward. And then there was a bunch of backlash on Twitter, and Kat was suddenly getting all of those messages.
Yeah. So Kat's like, oh God, like this is terrible. And really wants to talk to Adina, her girlfriend and life coach, about this. And Jane even points out, like, well, wouldn't just like sex with a stranger make you feel better? And Kat says, that's not what I want right now.
Wow.
And you can just tell she's like, this isn't really fulfilling for me. I like, this is a time where like, I need my girlfriend. And I think that's when she's really, it's kind of being spelled out for her that that's what she wants in the long run too. Mm. And she no longer really wants to have this open relationship.
Yeah. So then Kat realizes she wants to talk to Adina. And in fact, Adina had already left her voicemail message saying, hey, I just wanted to check in on you. I saw everything, all the backlash that Scarlett's been getting. Mm-hmm. And then Kat tries to call Adina, but gets voicemail. So they're like not in sync with each other. They're not able to communicate. It's that same night when Kat realizes that she doesn't want to go home with this bartender girl, and she wants to just be with Adina, and she's ready to close the relationship.
Yeah. She says she's done. She's done with the open relationship, finally.
Wow.
Which we were kind of hoping would, I mean, this was like the ideal situation, I think, that you and I were hoping for, is that she would sort of have her fill, and then sooner rather than later decide that she was done. And just try to stay with Adina. I do want to take a moment. I know we said we weren't going to talk about straight people, unless they pertain to Kadena, but I just love Jacqueline in this episode admitting that she was wrong for eliminating the comments and not even wanting to hear Kat out for why they should keep them. And she calls Kat and actually asks her for her advice.
Mm.
I thought that was really, really big of her. Anyway, I thought that was a really beautiful moment. Props to Jacqueline for admitting that you were wrong.
Mm. And props to Kat for realizing that she doesn't need an open relationship anymore, and for being able to deliver that advice to Jacqueline.
Absolutely.
I do want to say, and this is my only critique. So even though I'm happy that Kat realizes that she should just like stay with Adina, like she slept around, got a little bit of experience. Now she can say that she did it. She did a lot of it in a short amount of time, only 3 episodes. But like my one critique is that we didn't get a chance to explore queer non-monogamy for a longer period of time. So we could see how that dynamic takes place. How do partners negotiate openness in a relationship over time? Because it's like it's a constant discussion and a constant negotiation. And it would have been that I think that was a missed opportunity here.
Yeah, but, I agree. And I would have also liked it if, you know, because like we said, we find out in the end that Adina wasn't seeing anyone else, as far as we know, as far as she's said. So I would have liked it to have gone both ways and also see how Kat reacts to knowing that Adina is dating. You know what I mean? Kind of like I mean, because there is a duality to it. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be okay with like, okay, I can go sleep around and still try to like make things work with my girlfriend. But like, what if she's also doing the same thing?
I feel like that would have been a really interesting storyline for them to explore if Kat got jealous of Adina seeing other people. And we got a hint of that where she...
Exactly. That's the thing, because I feel like she would have gotten jealous. I mean, of course, maybe if it's like agreed upon ahead of time. But yeah, I would have loved to see that be explored. And so at the end of the episode, we see their wrap-up talk. And the talk goes well, but it sort of ends... oddly, I guess. I feel like it's a weird, it's almost like their dynamic has shifted. And then when, I don't know if you watch the preview for next week, but it looks like the trouble may be yet to come.
Oh yeah.
So
I know.
Yeah. We're going to get a taste of that.
Yeah. Kat comes back from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and she sees Adina, and she says to Adina, like, Kat wants them to spend more time together. But then Adina's like, oh, I have to focus on this work. I've got a lot of momentum going because I've had extra time in the studio with you out of my way. and like, basically, Adina has gotten used to life without Kat. And so this is also where I was kind of annoyed with Kat, because again, she wants Adina's entire world to revolve around her. Mm-hmm, but what we're failing to see as viewers is that Adina has an entire world of her own.
Yeah.
And she has her own goals, her own career goals. And we don't get to see much of that explored. And so I liked seeing Adina sort of assert her independence, even though that made for a little bit of an awkward reconciliation once they closed back the relationship.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I just still feel like, I don't know, when I finished the episode, I was still like, okay, I think it was smart of Kat to realize that she should just stay with Adina and not need an open relationship anymore, but I still feel like they're not right for each other.
Yeah, something is off.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to be brought up maybe in the next episode. I mean, we know that Nicole Buscheri is a regular for this season, but we don't know about next season.
Oh my God, don't talk like that.
So,
wow.
I'm sorry.
How could you? Wow.
Well, I'm just saying maybe she'll be, you know, recurring character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we saw her quite a bit in season one just as a recurring character, but I don't know. Yeah, I know this is too much to ask, but like, if they did break up, I would hope that Adina still stays on as a character on the show. Mm. But yeah, I just feel like if this was real life and these were people that I knew, I'd be like, you guys aren't right together.
Yeah. Well, think about it. So Sam Page, who plays Richard, is a series regular. Mm-hmm. And so is Alex, who got zero storylines in this season.
Wow. So they're both regulars?
Yeah, they're both part of the main cast. Okay. At least according to Wikipedia. The recurring, yeah. They're listed as main cast. And then, yeah, they're both series regulars. And so it's kind of like, what's going on there? You know, like, I guess they could reduce her screen time. But I really think that the writers know that the Kadena ship is where it's at. And that's why throughout the season, we've seen them pull Kat and Adina apart, then bring them back together again, pull them apart, then bring them back together. And so this is sort of like, it cycles. And like the pulling apart and the bringing back together is all about the torture of being a fangirl and a shipper. Like this is shipper life.
That's true. That's true.
Live for that. And that's also why they had to end the open relationship as quickly as they did, because they can't, because the fans need to be satisfied.
Right. Right. They need to, it's almost like a will they or won't they, but it's like constantly on will they, but like, you know, a little, it goes up and down in the, will they section.
Yeah. And
basically.
So, it makes sense that they close the relationship back up to satisfy the fans. But like after you're satisfied, you know, something else is coming up. So I imagine that next week's season finale is going to be some kind of like devastating thing that happens to Kadena. We're going to get a terrible cliffhanger. Maybe Adina gets deported. I don't know.
Oh my God. I hope not.
Yeah. Or something else happens in Paris while Kat is there. I don't know. It's there's no way they're going to give us a happy ending before the end of the season.
I mean, I feel like they can't, even if they did say they were breaking up at the end of the season, like we would know it's like not super for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the way that I sort of like predict things is like what happens in the second to last episode tells you what's going to happen in the last episode. So in season one, the second to last episode was Before Tequila Sunrise. And it's the episode where Adina goes back on the plane and Kat doesn't join her.
Right.
And then the next episode, which was the season finale, Kat goes to find her, right?
Right.
But this season, the second to last episode, they close the relationship back, and they're back together.
So you think the finale?
So the finale is going to be some, like something is going to try to tear them apart.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean,
this is terrible.
I know. It really is. I mean, I'm excited. I'm clearly excited, but like, it's going to be really sad when we don't have the bold type to talk about on this podcast. I mean, there are plenty of other things we could talk about. But I'm going to miss this show.
I know, me too. I'm going to miss like having the constant queer storylines in, like we said, almost every single episode. I mean, Kat is treated really fully as a main character, unlike in shows, for example, like Pretty Little Liars, where Emily's romance storyline kind of just like flatlined for long periods of time, while the other girls' storylines largely revolved around their love lives and love triangles and blah blah blah. So I think that I'm hoping that the success of this show will encourage showrunners in the future to take on stuff like this and not think that like, oh, that's too much gay, you know, like,
no, it's never enough.
It's never enough. Please God, when will they learn? This is still too little. Like they like, I really feel like they don't get that actually, that this is like way less representation than we feel we deserve.
Reparations. And
so, yeah. We want to see like the queer friends. We want to see more queer spaces. We want to like just all of it. I mean, we want it to be like real life and we want it to be just like the straight storylines. And so shows like The Bold Type are really making huge strides in that direction and we appreciate it, but you could always do better.
Oh my God. You know what I just thought about? What if they had web episodes? You know when they like a show will have like extra content about a story.
Do you mean webisodes?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Amira. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
What if we had webisodes that just followed Adina? Like,
oh God. Right?
And I would love to see Adina like, you know, I would love to see scenes of Adina getting hit on and deciding that she's not interested because she's already got a girlfriend, or scenes of Adina navigating her visa stuff, or scenes of Adina,
or like her in the studio, like doing her work. Like, I agree.
Because I was going to say we need fan fiction that gives us Adina's point of view in the entirety of season two.
What is Adina doing?
Yeah.
This like, whole time.
Adina must be really conflicted about the whole non-monogamy thing, right?
Yeah.
And she must
talking to her friends about it, that would be a great scene to watch also.
Yeah, and she must at least be wondering, well, if it's going to be open for Kat, should it be open for me? Like, I feel like there's just so much stuff that we didn't get because we didn't get those scenes showing us Adina's point of view. And so either fan fiction needs to cover it or a webisode.
I feel like it's not unreasonable to say webisodes highlighting secondary characters would be interesting, because I'd love to see more of like Alex and Oliver. Unfortunately, it would also mean more of Richard, which, you know, we don't have to watch those ones. But
no. But like, I think Oliver deserves his own storyline.
Oh, for sure. That guy is so interesting. And he's like super growing on me as a mentor. And not that I ever disliked him before, but I just didn't really like, I guess I didn't really see him in that way initially. They didn't really show that that's where like that whole thing was going with Sutton. And so now I'm really excited to see how that's going to go moving forward. But I also want to see more details of like his background or even like his current life and like what he does. Like, what is he doing all day, basically?
Really?
Yeah. I just feel like he's such an interesting character. So yeah. I don't know. I'd love to see.
No, I know. What I'm realizing is both like a plus and a minus of this show is that the show focuses so much on the friendship across the three of them that we don't get time for Jacqueline or Oliver or like other relationships explored in depth.
Right. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Well, overall, we are very excited for the season finale. Come what may. Like you said, Aphrodite, very well put. This is the fangirl life. You know, we are on this ride. It's not stopping yet. So we're in it no matter what.
I know. And at least we have each other, you know? Like the best part of suffering is you're never alone. Like
It's true.
Natasha and I did make a reaction video for this week's episode, and we're definitely going to have a reaction video for the season finale.
Oh yeah.
So like eventually I'll tweet links to those videos once they're up. But you can again follow us at QWOCship. Tweet us with your thoughts. Send us your corrections. I really appreciated getting a message from PodFem/Girl correcting us when we got it wrong and going back and finding receipts and delivering them. Thank you.
I mean, because we take notes when we watch these episodes, but we only watch them through once, and you know, we don't necessarily have the best memories, so
yeah, well, I mean,
we're only human.
Okay, I'll say I try to rewatch the Kadena scenes at least a second time.
That's true, you do, yeah.
But like, it's hard, we're trying to, you know, record this podcast as soon as we can and like edit it and get it up in time for all of you to tune in before the following week's episode. But yeah, your feedback as listeners, we'd love to hear from you.
And again, please do not send us your nudes.
No.
Just in case there was any confusion earlier.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay. Your opinions on nudes, yes, we would love to hear that. Actual nudes, no thank you.
No, thank you. And on that note, all right.
Tune in next week, guys.